the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, hello and welcome. Welcome to St. John's, and if you're a visitor, you're particularly welcome. And I promise you that this sermon this evening will be, well, relatively short. I thought long and hard about how I was going to introduce this talk this evening, having just said it, in fact, it didn't seem quite right to say to you good evening on account of the fact that evening was 4 or 5 hours ago and it's now quite late. And I didn't quite want to say, well, good night, because you'd all get up and leave, probably thinking it was the end, which, of course, you're free to do anyway. So I settled on hello and welcome. I'll come back to the reason for that in a moment, but let's take a moment to pray. Dear God, please open our minds and our hearts to receive the great gift that you are giving us again this season. May we hear the good news and receive it for ourselves. Amen. Greetings. Greetings. I wonder if you've noticed some of the greetings that are around at the moment. I've been collecting some over the last few weeks. You'll have got them on cards that people have sent you. People have sent you emails and things. They've said things like, "Happy holidays." That's one that we get every year from a Jewish friend. "Merry Giftmas." That's, you'll have seen that in a Tesco advert. Other shops are available. You may have heard "Merry Crimble." I discovered only this year that that was invented by John Lennon, one of the Beatles. How about "Enjoy the festive season"? "It's a winter celebration." "It's Betwixtmas." That's a complicated one. "Yuletide," "festive greetings." "Happy holidays." That's H-O-L-L-Y, the spiky leaves and red berries type of holly. "A merry everything." "Season's greetings." Or "season's eatings." That's a podcast about seasonal food, in case you want to look it up. "Celebrate the season," and of course, "have you been naughty or nice?" All sorts of greetings that come out around this time of year, but isn't it remarkable how many of them there are that seem to avoid saying what the season is really all about? Of course, there's food, and there's gifts, and there's friends, and there's celebrations, but ultimately it's Christmas. It's Christmas. Let's think about that word just for a few moments. What is it about the Mass part, first of all? Mass in Christmas comes from the Old English masse, apparently, which means a festival or a celebration. And of course, this time is a festival and a celebration. It originates from the Old English, first appeared about 1038, I'm told, according to Google. Phrase that's come down from Middle English into Modern English. And of course, Mass is also used when we talk about bread and wine in some churches, whether we call it Mass or Eucharist or Communion. But what about the Christ part? About Christmas, Christmas. I'm sure you're aware that there are words in different languages that, although they're different words, they nevertheless have the same meaning. You will, of course, be familiar with the word bread. We all know what bread is. Many, perhaps most of us, will be familiar with it being in French as pain, as in pain au chocolat, one of my favorites. Most of you also know it in Farsi, You may not know that you know the word for bread in Farsi, but next time you're going down the Indian takeaway and you order your vindaloo or your korma and you decide that you'll have a naan bread with it. Naan, Farsi for bread. And you also know it in Hebrew, although you may not know that you know it in Hebrew. In Hebrew, the word for bread is lechem, as in Beth Lechem, Bethlehem, Beth, house of bread, Bethlehem, the house of bread. We know the word in multiple languages. So too with the English word Christ comes to us almost unchanged from the Greek Christos, which has the same meaning as the Hebrew word Messiah or Moshiach, meaning the anointed one. Messiah, the title given to somebody, an expected great deliverer, an expected liberator or savior. Messiah. It came up in our reading. You may have noticed it. But why is Christ or Messiah applied to Jesus, this babe in the manger? When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, we read that the angels appeared to shepherds. We had the reading read for us just a few moments ago. Verses 10 and 11. It's the right at the bottom of the page, on the first page of the reading, and the top of the page on the, over the top, if you want to look it up. Verses 10 and 11. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David," that's Bethlehem, "a Savior has been born to you, who is Messiah, the Lord." A Savior has been born who is Messiah. The angels announce the arrival of the Christ. From it we learn that Jesus, this babe in the manger, Jesus is the long-expected Messiah. He is the anointed one, the expected deliverer, the Christ who is born in Bethlehem. And you will know that Jesus is named in other parts of the Bible reading for this time of year. Jesus is named as, well, Jesus. Actually, in Hebrew, probably Yeshua, which means the Lord is salvation. We know this because Joseph and Mary are both taught by the angels that visit them that you shall call his name Jesus. And Joseph has it added, because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus, the Savior, the Lord of salvation, will save his people. And he is also the Lord. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Messiah, the Lord. So Jesus is Lord and Savior. He is the rescuer. Strikes me as slightly funny, maybe it does to you as well, thinking about Jesus as he's growing up. I don't know what your name means, but Jesus' name means Savior, or the Lord saves. Can you hear Mary calling him? The Lord saves, it's time to clear up your toys. The Lord saves, it's time to come in for tea. The Lord saves, go and help your father in the workshop. Every time his name is mentioned, his purpose is spoken. He is the Savior. Now, this Messiah was prophesied 700 years earlier by the prophet Isaiah, who told us one another favorite reading for this time of year, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne forever. Forever. And when the wise men come, they come first of all to Herod's palace seeking. Who are they seeking? We're looking for the one who is born King of the Jews. They were told to go to Bethlehem, for out of you will come a ruler over Israel, the prophet said. So this is the one that we now call the Christ in English. A ruler, a king, a savior, the anointed one, the one who is coming to bring justice and peace. And his name is Jesus. The Lord saves. Which raises a question. What does he save from? He saves us from the sins that separate us from God. We see a lot of evil in the world these days, don't we? You've only got to open your paper or put the news on. Wars and crime, abuse, lies, injustice, oppression of all sorts. But these things that appear on the outside, these things that become public, start on the inside. You see, when it comes to standing before God, we are all guilty. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, it says in the book of Romans. All fall short of the glory of God? Yes, me. And yes, you. And how does he save? We've mentioned it already this evening. How does he save? He saves by dying on the cross. We wait 30 years or so from when he lies in the manger to when he gets to the cross. We'll celebrate it again at Easter. But he comes to die, to take the justice that should have been yours and should have been mine. He takes it so that we can be saved, we can be free. It's what we remember when we come to the communion table and break bread, his body broken, and drink wine, his blood shed. He came to save and not to condemn. Did you notice, as James read the reading for us, that this was good news? Good news? Good news for who? Good news for all people. Yes, even you. Yes, even me. It brings joy. Who does he save? You and me, if we let him. If we ask him, the offer is open to everyone. So I close with a question. Do you know him? Do you know him? This is a celebration of the Christ. Yes, there will be presents, there will be food, there will be celebrations, there will be family gatherings, there will be fun. And yes, for some, there will be sadness and loneliness because of other events that are going on in life. But central to it all should be the Christ, the Savior, Jesus, who came to save us from our sin, to bring us peace with God, to show us that God loves us. The angel said, it's good news. Do you know that good news? Have you accepted him? Have you asked him to save you? So, will it just be happy holidays, merry Giftmas, a winter celebration, or season's eatings? Or will it be a happy Christmas? Let me finish by wishing you all a very happy Christmas.